can sense the change in all of you. I say, we're focused on keeping everyone alive. Blake says, and we will keep everyone alive. Right. Alive. Focus they need, because I'm here. I grab my tote and move to the living room to sit down, dreading the moment Asher walks in the door to tell me whatever they are not, as surely as I hunger for that moment to be now. I really need it to be now. 30 minutes later, Julie arrives and Jacob leaves. She sits down next to me, gorgeous and blonde, and I have a flashback of me as a blonde. But I don't want to be blonde. I just want to be alive and with Asher. How are you? She asks. Worried? Nervous? I want them to be here already. It gets easier, I promise. Maybe. But this time is all about the hell I'm bringing to your family. You didn't do this. A monster did this. The beast, I say. That's what I call him. I'll help you divorce him. I can't divorce him. He'll kill me. Not from jail. His reach is wide, I remind her. I keep saying that. No one listens. Or maybe they do now. They know. I see it in everyone's faces. Our men will make it non-existent. One day you'll have the faith in them that I do. I glance at her watch. Midnight. Shouldn't they be here by now? As if answering my question, the door opens. Julie and I are on our feet as Asher walks in the door, followed by Luke. I forget about bad news. I'm across the room, my arms around Asher in 10 seconds flat, and Julie is right there with me, with Luke. Asher, his hands are in my hair, and he is kissing me before I ever get the rest of my sentence out. I kiss him right back, molding my hands to his back, breathing him in. And when he pulls back, I say, I was so worried.
Yeah?
He asks, yes, so much. His eyes warm.
I've never had anyone worry about me. I think I like it. I worry about you all the damn time,
Luke assures him. His arm around Julie. Asher waves him off.
Fuck you, Luke.
Luke laughs.
I love you too, man.
Asher drags me under his arm, and our sides meld together.
Let's talk to Blake and Kara, and then hit the bed. I'm exhausted.
I have a million questions for him, but I just want to get him alone. Together, we walk to the table, and collectively all of us gather there.
Why don't we talk alone?
Blake says, his eyes meeting mine.
Sierra can handle this,
Asher replies. I'm sorry, I say. I tried to warn you all.
Don't be sorry,
Asher says.
No,
Luke says.
Don't be sorry. We have a plan. We cut the legs off the spider,
Asher says.
Devon being the spider. The legs being his loyal subjects.
Blake says.
Exactly.
Asher says.
We hit each person involved with Devon with a criminal scandal, and eventually we connect Devon to one of them. But we don't go slow.
Luke says.
We make sure Devon will get nervous. We make sure he acts guilty, and we document it, so when it turns on him, he can't run. We don't use the real crimes to take these people down.
Asher says.
Which means we all mobilize our closest allies. We divide up the bad guys and formulate a plan for each. Asher and I have already put our SEAL team on standby.
Luke says,
we all have insiders.
Blake rubs his hands together.
Damn, I love my job. I'm up on this in a big way. I can make a lot of things happen. Securities fraud, or how about child pornography? That's the kind of fun you wish on these kinds of assholes.
He'll still come for me, I warn.
He'll be in jail,
Luke says,
and everyone in his resource pool will be dead in the water. And everyone who tries to help him will go down, too.
Blake says,
until he's the plague no one wants to touch, and no one wants to touch a rich dude who looks at naked pictures of kids. Hell, when I dig in, it might even be true. He's the kind of dude you see doing that shit.
I want to believe them, but I can feel the panic rising in me. They're all in. They're all wonderful. Too wonderful to die. Asher must sense what I feel because he says,
go home, everyone. You don't have to tell me twice.
Luke says, eyeing Asher and giving him a salute. Julie walks to me and hugs me. They're good. They'll make this go away. She doesn't wait for a reply. She hurries away with Luke. Kara rounds the table and hugs me. We got this. And you. She says by my ear. She moves away and Asher kisses me.
I'll lock up.
he says, releasing me and walking to the door. I watch him, the graceful yet lethal way he moves, but there is exhaustion in his face, worry, strain. The minute he's back in front of me, he laces his fingers with mine. Come, he orders, and in silence we walk up the stairs, every part of me aware of this man. Every part of me has fallen in love with this man. The minute we are in the bedroom, I turn to him. I step in front of him, hands on his chest. I told you you would regret me. Us.
The only thing I regret, sweetheart, is that he's still alive.
Asher, damn it, don't be a hero. Talk to me. I sensed how stressed everyone was when they saw those files.
You did good, Sierra. You painted a picture that might seem daunting at first. But in the end, it becomes a map for their destruction, not ours.
He links our fingers again.
I need a shower. Come take it with me.
I don't even think about saying no. Maybe I should leave. Maybe I should let go of him. But I'm selfish. I don't want to leave him. I don't want to let go. And so I let him lead me into the bathroom, and I savor every moment of us both undressing. Those gorgeous tattoos of his shift with every flex of his muscle. He turns on the shower, and we step beneath, with him backing me into the corner, his hand gently stroking a lock of hair from my face.
Devin Marks will die before I will ever let him hurt you again.
The passion, the fierce emotion in his voice steals my breath, but I push past it. I focus on him. How do I make sure he can't hurt you, though, Asher?
That's easy, sweetheart. You belong with me. You stay with me.
His mouth closes down on mine, his kiss both wicked and sweet, demanding, and somehow a question. I don't know what that question is. I only know that anything with Asher is a yes for me. And so, with every stroke of my tongue, every touch of my hand, I tell him yes. He presses inside me as he holds me up with his hands on my backside, and I am certain in these intense moments in the shower that he's telling me he's holding me. He's not letting me go. Well, I'm not letting him go either. And much later, as I lay next to Asher, my head on his chest, his heart thrumming beneath my ear, I know that this man will fight and even die for me. And I silently vow that I will kill Devin Marks before I let him take Asher from me. Chapter 35. Sierra. I wake the next morning naked and on my belly, with Asher's hand on my ass. I have about 2 seconds to appreciate how that feels before he turns me on my side to face him. Another second to appreciate his long, naked leg between mine, his hand between my shoulder blades, my breasts to his chest before he's kissing me. Somewhere in my mind, I compare him to Devin, when I do not want to compare them. Only the thing is that Devin made me feel used. Asher makes me feel savored. He kisses me like he's afraid he will never kiss me again. He touches me like he's the lucky one to be with me, when most of the female population would want this man pressed close to them, like he's pressed close to me. A long time later, we're both dressed, me in that red t-shirt I'd rejected the other day, and a pair of pale thrift store jeans, because they're clean and they fit. Asher in distressed jeans, a tan AC/DC t-shirt, and brown boots that makes him look all kinds of rocker hotness. So does the 2-day stubble on his jaw that he insists on shaving. He lathers up, and I decide to put my foot down. I push between him and the sink and use my hands to wipe it off. I don't want you to shave. We both look at my hands and start laughing. He leans in to kiss me, and his cell phone rings.
I'll bet you anything that is Blake.
He kisses me and foams up my face before grabbing his phone from his pocket.
Oh, fuck.
He grumbles. What? I ask urgently. What's wrong?
Just Royce, the cranky father-to-be.
He answers the call.
What's up, oh great one?
He says, wiping his face and tossing the towel in the sink before heading out of the room. The part where he heads out of the room, like he doesn't want me to hear the call, does a perfect job of bursting my happy bubble. Royce is now involved in my situation. He might even be the one who decides that I need to be in that safe house. Maybe I should. Maybe Royce is the one about to bring us all back to the reality I've lost, the one where I'm married to a crazy billionaire. I grabbed my purse with the revolver inside and head downstairs to find Asher with his back to me, inspecting the empty fridge. He shuts the door, and we each claim the opposite side of the island.
In my professional ex-seal opinion, he says in good humor, seemingly unaffected by his call with Royce, based on the current state of our refrigerator, we would starve to death in an apocalypse. We need to grab groceries and get you some clothes.
He says, I'm waiting on my bank card for clothes.
My casa, your casa, sweetheart. My money, your money. You need stuff. Let's go get you stuff.
There's a trigger in the back of my mind I try to shut down. Echoes of captivity with Devin I just can't escape. I have money. I want us to be equal. Understanding fills his gaze.
I'm not him. I'm not my father. Money is not leverage or ammunition to me. I've lived that. I won't ever make you live that.
I know that. I breathe out. I do. I really do. I don't want you to think that I think you're like either of them.
Then don't keep tabs on what's equal. I'm not. I mean, hell, I do have a greedy side, Sierra. If I want to eat the entire bag of Funyuns, I'm going to eat them. If you want to eat the entire bag of Funyuns, then eat them. We'll just buy extra.
He delivers that with such seriousness that I laugh. That comment was crazy, and I'm pretty sure out of context with the conversation.
It made you laugh?
Yes, I say. It did. You do. And for the record, I might eat the whole bag. I really like Funyuns. He winks.
Good. Then we can make Funyuns bets while naked, of course.
I laugh again. I don't even know what that means.
No?
No, I assure him.
I'll show you tonight.
He glances at his watch.
Right now, we have just enough time to catch a brunch joint up the road before they stop serving, and as a plus, they're right next to the firing range.
He motions to the door.
Yes?
Actually, I say, coming down from his sweet talk about Funyuns, what happened with Royce?
He's back. He wants to meet you this afternoon.
He's worried, I say, simplifying all he might be thinking or feeling, considering everything that was in those files Asher recovered.
He's Royce, sweetheart,
Asher says.
He's always worried. He's also always overbearing, intense, cranky, smart, and honorable. Once you get past his initial gruffness, you'll like him.
But he's worried, I press.
He's always worried.
He repeats.
You're overthinking this.
I do that.
I know.
You do?
Yes,
he says.
I do.
He rounds the island, snagging my fingers, and walks backward toward the door.
Me, man. You, woman. Oh, hell, whatever brilliant joke I was going to make is gone. I'm fucking starving.
I laugh again and let him guide me into the hallway so we can eat and practice shooting. Right before I go in front of a one-man firing squad named Royce Walker. After lunch and an hour at the firing range, Asher and I manage a bit of shopping. The grocery portion of that outing is perhaps the most expensive, as at one point I think Asher might order the entire store. Nevertheless, groceries are set up for delivery, as are a few personal items for me and a baby shower gift for Lauren and Royce. By 2 o'clock, Asher has confirmed Royce is in his office, and we head to the Walker offices to meet him and then work with the rest of the crew to catch Juju. We're just about to enter the offices when Asher pauses at the door.
Give Royce a chance. He's a good man.
I'm pretty good with challenging personalities. I promise him. My nerves eased a bit now. I interviewed serial killers. He laughs.
Let's not tell Royce you said that.
Yeah, I say, crinkling my nose. Let's not. We head inside, and Asher locks up because apparently Walker takes visitors by appointment only. Asher indicates a corner office, and we cross the lobby to reach the open door. Stepping inside, I find a tall, broad man standing at a window, with his back to us, with dark hair tied at his nape.
Hey, baby daddy,
Asher says, motioning me to one of the 2 leather visitors' chairs.
Feeling any more morning sickness?
Asher and I sit down, and he looks at me.
Royce had sympathetic morning sickness or something like that. What was it called, Royce?
Royce turns around, a scowl on his handsome face, and while he favors Luke and Blake, his features are harder, sharper.
You're an asshole.
he replies to Asher.
That's what you're called.
He looks at me.
I'm called Roy Sierra.
He walks to the desk and offers me his hand.
Nice to meet you.
I lean forward and shake his hand. It's a quick but firm grip that is nothing but friendly, but I can feel him sizing me up. He doesn't even sit. He leans on the credenza behind his desk and stares at me.
I need to let you know that I've worked with your mentor.
My throat goes dry with this unexpected, potentially dangerous turn of events. You worked with Glenn Masters?
Why don't I know about this?
Asher demands, protectiveness in his tone.
I didn't see it in the files until about an hour ago,
he says.
It unfortunately has to color the tone of a meeting I'd meant to take in another direction.
What direction? I ask.
To welcome and assure you that you have our support.
But you worked with Glenn Masters, I say flatly, not sure where this is leading. Aren't you a former hostage negotiator?
Yes,
he confirms.
But a serial killer who took hostages led to myself and Masters working a situation together.
And? I prod.
And Masters is an arrogant prick, but he's good at his job.
My defenses prickle hard and fast. Have you read the documents on Masters in my files?
I damn sure have.
Asher chimes in.
Masters took detailed notes on the deaths of four people that Sierra clearly tied back to Devin Marks.
And he wrote those notes before the people actually died, I add.
I saw the files as well.
Royce confirms.
And I have no problem taking down a killer, especially one masquerading as a hero. My problem here is how this affects you, and really all of us.
What does that mean? I ask, looking between them.
He's connected to you.
Royce says.
You had a direct link to his work. That means you could become a focus of an investigation, depending on what we expose. That brings all of us into that focus.
I reject that idea immediately. I don't want that. Is there no way to take him down that won't bring attention to me?
The obvious answer to me,
Asher says,
is simply discrediting him.
In what way? I ask.
I'm sure you've figured out how creative Blake can be.
Roy says,
Masters is an expert witness. He'd likely create evidence of false testimonies, among other damning activity. The problem with that,
Asher says,
is that you worked with Masters to gain your credentials. He becomes the damaged mentor, and you could become the damaged protege. In other words,
Roy says,
are you ready for that to happen?
This is a man who I heard plot my murder before I knew he was plotting a murder, I say. He told Devin that he'd need a replacement when I was gone. I thought he meant when I graduated. Of course, I now know that he meant when I died. So am I ready? Yes. And as for my credentials, I still interviewed high-profile killers. I still learned things from him and processed those things my way. He doesn't define me. Asher's phone rings, and he pulls it from his pocket.
Terrence.
He informs us, and obviously he expects Royce to know that name.
Yes.
He answers.
What can I do for you, boss?
He listens a minute.
I thought you'd like me all submissive and willing to work your bar all night long.
Terrence yells so loudly I can hear him through the phone, and much to my surprise, Royce fights off a laugh, giving me a glimpse of a lighter side of the Walker patriarch.
We'll both be at work tonight.
Asher continues.
But only if Kelly fills out her paperwork for a paycheck first.
He doesn't wait for a reply. He ends the connection and looks at me.
If you didn't need that paperwork on file to take attention off yourself, you wouldn't be going tonight.
Yes, I would, I say. Because you're a hero, and you want to catch a killer, and that means doing things we both don't want to do.
Sierra.
Royce says.
Can Asher and I have a few moments? The rest of the Juju team is in the conference room.
Of course, I say, standing up and quickly heading to the door.
Sierra.
Royce says just before I exit. I pause and glance around at him. Yes?
What you've done is brave and strong. You're as much a hero as Asher.
No. I say, my eyes meet in Asher's, but I'm lucky enough to have him to inspire me. I slip away then, and I make it to the hallway just outside the conference room when Asher catches me, pulls me to him, and kisses me until I can't think straight.
I just needed to do that,
he says, his voice low and gravelly, and then he walks away. I lean on the wall, the scent of his spicy cologne lingering in the air and on my skin. the taste of his passion still on my lips. A smile with it. That man is too perfect for my own good. Voices lift in the conference room, and I push off the wall and walk into the room to discover Smith and Blake heatedly debating the attitude of someone named Rick Savage. Kara and Jacob greet me as Blake and Smith pipe down to do the same. I'm about to sit down when Blake stands up and motions me to the wall opposite the one pinned with a roadmap of Juju data on note cards. I join him there and study the collage of note cards with him, most of which include names of people my files added to.
"It's begun," Blake explains. "Underneath each note card with a name, you will eventually see the date we wiped that person off the map, in one way, shape, or form."
He taps the one that features the Dallas FBI agent who betrayed me.
"He's first. He and his minions, which we now know stretch beyond Texas, will soon be implicated in a criminal drug operation. By my creation, of course. Everyone else on this wall will fall as well, and soon. Including him."
He points to the largest piece of paper, the one in the center of the wall that reads, "Devin Marks. The Beast." Asher chooses that very moment to enter the room.
"Sierra and I are going to the bar tonight,"
he announces.
"If I win the fight that I'm sure I'll soon have with Sierra, this will be Sierra's last night at the bar. So let's make it count. Let's catch a killer tonight."
Hours later, Asher and I exit the subway tunnel to start the short walk to the bar, when he stops and turns me to look at him.
"You stay close to me. If you so much as have to go to the bathroom, you make sure I know it, and you text Luke, who will be in the surveillance van."
"You already told me this before we left the office."
"When the club closes, I'll walk you to your old apartment. We will pretend to fight, and I will leave without going up with you. When you get there, Kara will be waiting on you. And fuck, I have to leave you there with her, and I don't like it. Tomorrow morning she'll leave, and you will wear a disguise and leave after her."
"He's told me all of this several times. What's wrong with you tonight?"
"A gut feeling that says tonight is trouble. And if you let me, I'd take you back home right now."
"We have to catch him, and I have an army protecting me, remember?" I ask, sounding full of bravado when I'm not. A gut feeling saved me in Dallas. Gut feelings matter.
"Yeah,"
he says.
"I fucking remember."
His phone buzzes with a text and he looks at it.
"There will be a Bigfoot-looking bouncer with a scar down his face. His name is Rick Savage. I don't like him, but he's one of us. And according to Luke, Savage just got called into work by Terrence as a new hire. Savage will text you, so you know how to reach him. If you can't get to me, go to him. And keep your purse at your hip with your gun inside. Let's get this over with."
He takes my hand and holds on to it a little tighter than usual. He doesn't say another word, and I have this sense that he is on alert, listening for any little sound. We enter the back of the bar, and Terrence is on top of us instantly, like he's watching some camera and knew we were there.
"No paperwork,"
Asher says.
"No worky."
Terrence shoots me an irritated look.
"On the break room table, and good to have you on board, Sierra."
He turns and walks away. "Kelly," I call out, "can you remember my name already?" He doesn't turn. He laughs a roaring laugh. Asher and I look at each other. "I don't like that," I say. "He called me Sierra like a taunt."
"He knows you dodged a documented paycheck. We can't get around that. Just fill out the application."
I do it quickly, and we walk to Terrence's office to find him behind his junky, scraped desk. I walk inside and set it in front of him. "When do I work next?"
"Depends on how well you work. Go work now."
Asher takes my hand and pulls me out of there.
"Like I said,"
he murmurs near my ear,
"let's get this over with."
He leads me into the club through the hustle and bustle of a budding crowd, and soon we are behind the bar. For 2 hours we serve drinks, and there is no sign of Juju, no word he's even left his house. At the 3 hour mark, I have to go to the bathroom, and I tell Asher. He sends word to the team, and I'm cleared, but Asher leans in close.
"If there really is a partner to Juju in this, that partner could be here. Be careful."
He waits for my promise, and then helps me onto the bar. I jump down on the other side, feeling the nerves in my belly with every step. I move quickly through the bar and down the hall leading to the bathroom. There is a line. I text Asher and Blake. "There's a line," Three before me. Blake messages back.
We have eyes on you now, and Juju hasn't left his house.
I should be comforted, but Asher's reminder about a potential partner to Juju has me watching the hallway for anyone approaching until finally it's my turn. I walk into the bathroom, lock up, and quickly do my thing. I text again. Leave in the bathroom. I exit, and there is no line. Why is there no line? There is a loudspeaker announcement, and I realize that open mic is starting in the concert area. Everyone is there. I take two more steps, and suddenly Juju is in front of me.
Gorgeous,
he says, snapping my photo with a phone again. Stop, I order firmly. Stop now. My hand goes to my purse, but I have no right to shoot him now, and if I do, I'll get police attention. I'll get the beast's attention. I remind myself that I'm being watched. Help is coming. I try to step around Juju, and he shoves me against the wall, pinning my legs with his legs. I shove against him, and he snaps my photo. I knee him rather ineffectively and grab the phone in his hand. He snatches it right back, opens the bathroom door, and shoves me inside. I stumble and fall backward, and now I reach for my gun. I remember my lesson even as I unzip my purse. Never shoot unless you intend to kill your target. I'm shooting to kill. I reach inside my purse, my hand on the grip of my firearm, and that's when Juju opens a baggie and waves it in my direction. White powder floats in the air and right into my face.
Chapter 36 Asher. The code red for Sierra hits my phone. And in all the code reds I've gotten in my life, this is the only one that made my entire body clench. I'm over the bar and shoving a drunk asshole out of my path in all of 10 seconds. Savage is by my side by the time I land, and linebacker that he is, he charges forward ahead of me into the thinning crowd, thanks to the open mic, and clears a path. We reach the hallway leading to the bathroom, and something smacks into Savage.
Got him!
Savage growls.
Get Sierra!
Savage backs up, and holy shit, he's dragging Juju, who isn't even fighting him. Like he just got his version of having his fucking cock blown, and he's satisfied. Which freaks me the fuck out, and has me running full speed down the hallway. How the fuck is he even here? Where the fuck is Sierra? Please let her be alive. I round the corner, and Sierra steps into the doorway of the bathroom, covered in some kind of white residue.
Don't touch me,
she warns, holding up her hands.
I don't know what he threw on me. You can't touch me.
Like hell, I say, scooping her up, carrying her through the bar, shoving people out of the way as needed. Our quickest exit is down the employee hall, and that is where I go. And my team damn sure better be waiting. I get to the back door, and Luke opens it. Exiting to the alleyway, the surveillance van is not only waiting, but the doors are open, and I immediately help Sierra inside and sit her down on a chair built into the wall. I follow her and go down on a knee in front of her. Are you okay?
How is she?
Luke asks, climbing inside and shutting the doors.
Hospital?
Smith calls back from the driver's seat.
No,
Sierra says.
I feel nothing. I'm not hurt. I'm not sick.
She touches my face.
Stubborn man. It's all over you. How do you feel?
Same as you. I feel nothing. The powder bleeds into my mouth, and it's familiar. I lick my lip.
It's fucking baby powder, that little prick.
Sierra smells her fingers.
It is. It's baby powder. He was scaring me, or us. He was setting us up.
Holy hell, I murmur, eyeing Luke. Where is Juju now?
Savage has him at the front, giving him hell for mistreating one of the bartenders. There's no way he's seen us back here.
I should go back inside.
Sierra says.
He can't think that...
No, I say. That is not happening.
You're done here, and I will tie you to the damn bed and keep you there if that is what is necessary. Or drug you and put us both on a plane. Tell us what happened.
He cornered me, and I didn't want to shoot him until I had real cause. But then he shoved me onto the bathroom floor, and I was going to shoot him. I had my purse unzipped. I was reaching, and then came the powder. And he took my picture again. Can Savage get the phone?
If he can, he will, Luke says. Savage is an asshole, but he's good under pressure. He was under pressure because Juju was in the building and Sierra and I didn't know, I say. How the fuck did that happen?
It has to be a decoy, Luke says. Like Kara is for Sierra, which is probably why he saw through our attempt at the same.
That means he knows he's being watched,
Sierra says. Agreed, I say. And I bet money that he has a spotter watching us right now. The sound of the back door of the bar opening has Luke eyeing the monitor. Savage. I rotate to face the doors as they open, and Savage leans in to talk to us.
How is she?
He eyes the powder on me.
How the hell are you?
It's baby powder, I say. Where is Juju now?
I had to let him go or they were going to call the police, he says. And I didn't think my cover would hold if that happened. And I didn't think you'd want Sierra to talk to the cops. Tell me someone has eyes on him.
Jacob, Luke interjects. He just sent me a text confirmation.
I have to get back, Savage says. But I grab this.
He holds up a phone.
The only photos on that phone are Sierra's. No calls. It's clean. He had his day-to-day phone, but there were no photos.
He hands it to me.
I'll update the team when I can.
He pulls back and shuts us inside.
I have to go to the apartment, Sierra says. Stay the course.
She focuses on me.
We can fight over what just happened. Kara is there waiting on me, but we have to finish the night.
No, I say. You won't go back in that bar. You won't go to the apartment. He knows we're watching him. I look at Luke.
Tell Blake and Kara to be careful, but Sierra is out. I'm taking her home.
I don't blame you, man, Luke says. I'll have Smith shadow you.
No, I say. Juju is outsmarting us. I have Sierra. Just stay on Juju.
This could have been a distraction for another kill,
Sierra warns. And with that grim note, I take Sierra's hand. Let's get out of here. She doesn't argue, and when we step onto the street, I don't speak. We don't have backup. I need to focus, and her silence says that she understands. The walk is short, but feels like forever before we are safely inside a subway car with four other people. We can't talk, but the realization that she could be dead right now is punching all kinds of holes in me for the entire ride. I grab the pole and pull her to me, and she sinks against me, trembling, as if it's just hit her that she battled with a serial killer. Incredible. She not only battled, she survived and wanted to keep fighting. I look down, and her purse is unzipped. Her weapon a reach from being pulled. I leave it that way, and just hold her until we arrive at our stop. Once we're street side, the walk is short to the apartment. The walk through the lobby to the elevator even shorter. Inside the elevator, I punch our floor and pull her to me, tangling fingers in her hair.
You scared the shit out of me, woman, I say, and I kiss her. A deep drink her in, I almost fucking lost her kiss, that I don't end until the ping of our arrival. Then, and only then, do I part our lips, take her hand, and lead her to the apartment. The instant we are inside and locked up, we walk side by side up the stairs to the bedroom, and straight to the bathroom and the shower. Before we ever undress to wash off all this powder,
Luke calls. I answer on speaker. Sierra and I are here, I tell him. He went straight to his house, Luke announces. Are you sure it's him? I ask. We're sure. I talked to Blake. He hacked the security system at Juju's apartment and upon inspection found a loop.
A what?
Sierra asks. A disruption that makes you think you're looking at present time footage, but you're not, I explain. Which means he hired a hacker, or he has skills we didn't know he had. Whatever the case, Luke says, we know now. We have eyes on him. You two can have some peace with that.
He's done with me,
Sierra says.
He'll go underground now. He won't kill any time soon. He'll wait until you give up.
We never give up, Luke says. Not on something like this, even if our client does. You two try to get some much-earned rest. He disconnects, and I set the phone on the counter and step into Sierra, cupping her face. He made you. You can't go back. You know that, right?
Yes. Now that I'm coming down from the high of it all, I know that.
Her fingers curl on my chest.
I was scared. And that seems to be my trigger to do that overthinking thing. I could have killed him. I should have killed him. If I get the chance again, I will kill him.
Chapter 37, Sierra. I wake the next morning to no change in the news on Juju and needing an outlet. Asher and I go running and then spend 2 hours at the firing range. When we finally shower and head to the office, we enter the lobby to come face to face with a massive man with a scar down his face.
What are you doing here, Savage?
Asher growls.
Trying to catch an asshole,
he says.
But I need sleep. I'm leaving.
He looks at me.
I'll kill him if I get the chance. Don't you worry. For the record, Savage,
Asher says,
I still don't like you, but I no longer hate you. Badass assist last night. I still hate you, motherfucker.
He says,
but I got your back.
He looks at me.
Your back before his.
He steps around us and starts walking, and I turn to call after him. Thank you for last night. He lifts a hand and exits the office. What's the story between you two? I ask, glancing at Asher.
He's an asshole. I hate assholes.
Royce heads out of his office and toward us.
The baby shower is delayed. Lauren wants to have it after the baby is born in February.
Isn't it this weekend? I ask. Aren't there guests coming over?
Yes,
Royce says.
But Myla is in Europe with Kyle and pretty upset that she can't be here. The only way I could keep her off the plane yesterday was to tell her and Kyle the truth. The bottom line here is that Kyle has time to chase this Alvarez rumor, and we don't.
He looks at me.
We're going to keep you, Savage, and a field team on Juju right now. You'll earn a bonus for taking on more responsibility. The rest of us are powering through the Devin Mark situation.
He looks at Asher.
I assume you'll work both cases, but as of now, unless either of you have an objection, I'm on board with your plan to move this Mark's plan forward quickly, and I'll throw the resources at it we need. We have 6 total targets and any spawn they lead us to.
Asher says,
if we take one down a week, at least disrupt their world, we can force Mark's into a corner by Christmas. Merry fucking Christmas from Walker Security. I'm on board.
Roy says,
let's make it happen.
My heart is now racing at the idea of this particular Christmas gift, but I'm nervous too. We're dealing with Devin Marks, and no one knows his variety of evil more than me. I spend the afternoon at one end of the conference table, researching any detail to nab Juju while listening to the rest of the team work on the battle with the beast. I offer random tips and thoughts to help them while making calls related to Juju's father. Looking for anything to take him down before he's so dormant that we may never link him to any of the murders. By early evening, Savage is the only insider we have at the bar while his field team runs surveillance. Juju doesn't show up, which is no surprise to me. Asher and I stay at the office until 2 in the morning and then head home. Friday morning, Asher and I repeat Thursday, jogging, grabbing breakfast, and then hitting the firing range where I am showing improvements. Savage and I have no luck digging up dirt on Juju or his father, but the Devin Marks team is pleased with their progress. Friday evening, Juju not only stays away from the bar, he goes out to dinner by himself, and then to a movie. By Monday, Royce pulls Savage's undercover role, and he's about to scale the Juju case back to field surveillance, which Savage and I fight. Out of options, 10 days pass, and Juju seems to fade into the background, while Asher becomes my world. I wake up in his arms and fall asleep the same way, and as we all focus on Devin Marks, the arrests and scandals begin to post on our wall. Each step we take, each move we make, makes the fall of the beast feel a little more possible. But on day 11 since the baby powder incident, I wake up with a gasp that has Asher jerk into a sitting position, because apparently I'm sitting up.
Nightmare?
He asks. Yes, I say, my mind flashing back again to that dinner party, and then the garden, where I'd heard the beast plan to kill a man and use me as payment. Very much a nightmare. Asher lowers me to the bed and rolls us both to our sides, facing each other.
About the beast?
Yes and no. Yes, it was about him, but it's really about me not doing enough fast enough to save lives. I want to work on the Juju case again today.
Tell me about the nightmare, Sierra.
You don't want to hear this?
Yes, I do.
And so I tell him, and he just listens, his jaw hard and getting harder. When I'm done, he inhales and gets out of bed, and still naked from the night before, walks into the bathroom. I blink, confused, and sit up. The shower comes on, and I don't know what to think. Is he turned off by what I've told him? By the fact that I stayed after that? Or that I wore that dress? I don't know, but I have to know. I climb out of the bed and rush into the bathroom. He's in the shower, and I stop beside it. Do you think less of me now? The door immediately opens, and he pulls me inside, his lips coming down on mine in a kiss that is angry and almost brutally passionate. And then he presses me into the corner, his hands on the wall above my head.
Did that taste or feel like I think less of you?
You said nothing. You walked in here and said nothing.
I'm in love with you. I love you, Sierra. Don't tell me it's too damn soon, because that won't change two things. I love you, and I'm going to kill him.
You will go to jail.
You still underestimate me. It will look like an accident, which, considering he kills just that way, is poetic justice.
I press my hands to his chest. I don't want to be the woman who made you kill.
You aren't. He's simply the man who deserves to die. Tell me you love me, Sierra. I really need to hear it.
Oh, God, yes, I say, despite the fact that I haven't let myself think it until now. But I do. So much. You know I do, I add.
Say it,
he orders. I love you, Asher. I love you more than I thought possible, and I... He slides his hand under my neck and drags his lips to mine.
Show me.
I smile against his lips, and then he kisses me again, and we are wild and crazy and perfect. But there is anger under his surface, so much anger that I have to control, because killing to save a life is different than murder. Murder will change him. Murder will always be between us, and because of me. I can't let that happen, and the only way I know to stop it right now is to kiss him deeper, touch him everywhere, and just hold on to him. Hours later, at the office, Asher is driving everyone to push the timeline forward on the takedown of Devin Mark's minions. He's intense, and I sense that I just have to let him ride this out for now, work through the anger, and come down a bit before we can talk this out. Besides, I'm feeling pretty intense over the news we were met with today on Juju. Apparently, he's taken a job at his father's old stockbroker firm. A killer hiding in clear sight, just like Devin. And that idea fires me up. I start watching the hours of surveillance footage on him, of him, looking for what we have missed. By evening, I'm focused on the many reels of diner footage, when my eyes go wide, and my heart skips a beat. I think I know this man, I say, pausing the footage on the 50-ish man with gray, wavy hair. This man who was in the diner with Juju. He's familiar. Asher, Luke, Kara, Blake, and Savage are instantly behind me.
He bought from Juju several times, Blake says. I remember him. I know him, too,
Savage says,
and not from the bar or the diner. I saw his picture.
He walks back to his seat, sits down, and begins punching keys on his computer.
Grant Miller, he says,
glancing at us.
He was the tech guy at the brokerage firm Juju's father worked for. He retired 2 years ago.
Asher kneels beside me and turns the computer in his direction, while Blake walks back to his seat and focuses on his keyboard as well.
He lives in Westbury, Long Island,
Asher says.
It's a rental house, and there is no credit card activity in a week. His light bill is a month past due,
Blake adds.
No bank account activity,
Asher says.
Fuck, it was drained 2 weeks ago like he was planning to run. I got the address,
Blake says, standing up.
Let's go.
Asher faces me, his hand on my leg.
Stay here. Don't leave the office, but go tell Royce what's happening.
He eyes Savage.
Nothing would please me more than to stay with your woman. Don't push your luck, Savage.
Asher says, kissing my hand.
I'll call you soon.
He stands and exits the room, and Savage and I look at each other one beat before we both turn back to our computers.
Look for anything that might help them,
he says. I pull the video footage back up, and I watch the interaction Grant has with Juju in slow motion. Oh, wow. I breathe out. Savage's gaze jerks to me.
What do you have?
Juju doesn't sell him drugs. He hands him a small, bulky envelope.
Like it has a phone with a picture on it inside.
Savage says, following my thoughts exactly.
Call Asher. They need to look for those phones.
Asher. It's me, Luke, Blake, Kara, and Smith, crowding into the Escalade in the Walker parking garage, with Blake and his control freak ass behind the wheel. We're barely out of the drive when Sierra calls me with the news about the envelope exchange.
I think he's the keeper of the souvenirs.
Got it, I say. We'll find them if they're there. I end the call. Sierra thinks Juju handed off his picture phones to Miller. Fuck, Blake growls. We spooked the jerk-offs. We know where this is going, and it's nowhere. We all fall into silence, focused on the mission ahead, aware that when a man is cornered, he does insane things, even kills himself, and tries to take others with him. 45 minutes later, we pull to a stop a few houses down from Miller's. I don't know about the rest of you, I say, but I don't plan on knocking. I do, Blake says, as in knock the fucking door down. Sometimes I think I love you, I say, as I pop the back door open. Don't feed his attitude, Luke grumbles. We'll all pay the price. On that note, we all exit the vehicle, and I take the lead, motioning Blake and Luke to the left while myself and Smith go right, just before we split up to ensure we don't scare the neighbors. Once we're at the house, Smith and I draw our weapons and scan the windows, only to find the drapes are too thick to offer a visual inside the property. We round the corner to the backyard, going slow. Watch for booby traps, Smith says. I'll go first. This is my thing. When an ex-Green Beret who specialized in setting booby traps wants to go first, you let him. I wave him forward. He motions for me to wait. I scan while he clears our path, and finally, he motions me forward. There is no back porch, and we both flatten on the wall by the door. I give him a nod and kick the door open. He steps to the entrance and checks for wires, then slowly enters the house. I follow to find it empty, but the danger of a bomb or trap still exists. Luke enters through the front door, Blake at his heels. Smith motions for us all to wait. For 10 minutes, we stand there while he clears the top level, then gives us an all-clear sign. He motions to a stairwell leading to the basement, and I follow him, patiently waiting as he does his thing and clears our path. Finally, we reach the bottom of the stairs. "Holy fuck," I murmur, as I find a wall of pictures, all familiar since they are the victims killed by our serial killer. I stand my ground until Smith says, "All clear." "And what the fuck?" "Down here," I shout, and Blake and Luke hurry down the steps, both cursing to various degrees. The five of us stand there, staring at the photos, and I try to take comfort in the fact that Sierra's isn't there. Either she's now taken off the list, or she's not on it yet, because she's not dead. "He left this as a taunt," I say. "A message." "Agreed," Luke says. "But what's the message?" "It could be a kiss my ass goodbye," Blake says.
"Or a promise that he'll kill again," Kara says. "And we didn't catch him now, and we won't then."
She turns to face me.
"The FBI will get involved. Juju will be interviewed and Sierra might come up, at which time I'll claim that is me."
"But there are pictures he took of her that could show up," I say.
"He has money,"
Kara says.
"His attorney will keep his mouth shut."
"Our 6-week plan to take down Mark's just turned into 4, I say, looking at Blake and Luke. "I need Devin Mark's ended, and ended now." "We'll come up with a plan in the morning," Blake says, tossing me the keys. "Get your woman. Tell her she did good and keep her away from the offices until the FBI storm passes." I nod and head for the door. And I don't stop until I'm in the Escalade. Once I'm on the road, I dial Sierra.
"What's happening?"
she asks, sounding nervous. "He's cleared the house but left the photos behind."
"Oh,"
she breathes out.
"Were there photos of me?"
"No. Not of you, just the victims. We called the police. Juju and even Terrence will be questioned. If anyone brings you up, we'll play dumb and point to Kara. And you need to know that the FBI will be called in, probably tonight. You're going to want to keep a low profile until the storm passes."
"I'm fine with that. Just get them. Stop them from killing again."
"We're closer, thanks to you. This might even lock Juju up and keep him behind bars. We'll know more in the morning. What do you think of Miller leaving those photos for us to find means?"
"He has a god complex, much like the Beast. He thinks that he's untouchable. He's mocking everyone who thinks they can catch him."
"That's good news," I say.
"How is that good news?"
"Because men like Devin Marks who believe they're untouchable get too confident and make mistakes. And then they crash and burn, or in Miller's case, get arrested."
"And in Devin Mark's case?"
she asks. "You know how he ends. I'll be there in 45 minutes. I disconnect the call. And just thinking about the moment I get to kill that man makes me 10 shades of happy.
Chapter 38 Sierra. Asher and I wake up the next morning to pounding on the door. Both of us throw on sweats and t-shirts to find Royce is our visitor. "Juju confessed," he announces. Asher and I gape. Royce crowds us and enters the apartment.
"I need coffee. Kara and I were at the station all night. I haven't slept."
We back up and he heads into the kitchen, where he pops a pot in the pot and turns to face us.
"Did they find evidence to use to get the confession?"
Asher asks as he and I sit down at the island across from Royce.
"None."
Royce grabs his cup and takes a sip.
"He just buckled under the pressure of 6 hours in the interrogation room. Apparently, his father used to lock him in the closet."
"Oh, no," I say. "Haven't seen this kind of thing before. Let's hope they don't claim emotional distress to throw out the confession."
"Even if they do, Roy says. He gave up details that will take him down. And get this, he says Miller is dumb as a rock, and nothing more than a retiree on his payroll who believed he was a photographer. Tech guys are not dumb as rocks, Asher argues. He had a stroke 5 years back. Juju claims it affected him. They have an APB out on him, but Juju says he's on a cruise.
Alarm radiates through me at the idea that cruises are common ways to escape. I suddenly really want Asher to check on my mother. Royce's phone buzzes, and while he reaches for it, Asher leans in and whispers,
I tried to find her and couldn't,
he says, clearly reading my mind and noticing my reaction.
We'll have Blake try to. If we both come up dry, then that's good news. That means no one else can find her either.
I let out a relieved breath and look at him. Thank you.
The wife wants me,
Royce says.
I need to go, but I still have more good news. I heard from my buddy in the FBI that I've had helping us with the Marks case. We're about 10 minutes and a week from cornering Devin Marks. Arrests are imminent.
What does that mean? I ask, looking between them. Royce answers,
Your mentor and your beast have been fingered for insider trading and child pornography. Marks will also be nabbed for knowingly hiding engine flaws in military jets that killed men fighting for this country. And that's true. Bastard really did that.
He eyes Asher.
Adam was a good find.
Adam? I ask. Your SEAL buddy?
Exactly.
Asher confirms.
His mother is a CIA agent who believes Devin Marks has to be stopped and took action to help us.
My head is spinning. What happens next? I stay underground until he's so buried in jail on these new charges that I'm not at risk any longer?
I'm taking extra precautions. Asher says. Once he's arrested, I'll make a copy of the data you collected. An anonymous source will mail it to his attorney with a promise that if anything happens to you, or anyone close to you, that file will be distributed to authorities and sent to all the major publications, thus ending any hope he has of staying out of jail. It's a good plan.
Roy says, down in the rest of his coffee.
You should talk to Julie, Sierra. The minute that happens, she can file your divorce and take that bastard to the cleaners.
I don't want his money, I say. He looks between us.
You two need to learn that it's better to put the money in the good guy's hands. Do good with it, but take the damn money.
There's a knock on the door, followed by the bell. Royce sets his cup in the sink. Asher frowns and heads for the door.
I need to go,
Royce says.
But
he reaches in his pocket and sets an envelope in front of me.
Your offer for full-time employment. $200,000 a year, plus a bonus.
I blanch. What? That is incredibly generous.
It's New York City,
he says.
It's starting pay in this city, but the bonuses make up for it.
I laugh. You're joking, right?
You got the wrong brother on that one. Do you accept?
Yes. Yes, I accept. He winks.
Good. We're lucky to have you.
He heads to the door, and I walk that way with him to find Asher has stepped into the hallway. Now I'm frowning, and when Royce exits, I follow him to find Asher speaking with his father in the hallway. Royce pats Asher on the back as he passes, and suddenly I have Asher's father staring at me.
Do you have that dress, Kelly? The party is only 2 weeks away. Goodbye, father.
Asher says, offering him his back and walking toward me. Without another word, he urges me inside and shuts the door. You okay? I ask as he locks up. He turns to me and says,
Not yet, but I will be.
He picks me up and starts carrying me toward the bedroom. Once we're there, he settles me on the mattress and comes down on top of me.
Sierra, not Kelly, and your last name will not be Marks for long.
He kisses me, and that anger I'd tasted before in him is back, a dark, jagged edge that two people seem to bring out in him, his father and Devin Marks. The next morning, Asher's stormy mood has passed, and I celebrate the demise of a serial killer and the future demise of the beast with donuts, but only after we jog to earn the junk food. We run by the firing range again, and I'm pretty darn happy with how well I've progressed. We arrive at the apartment to shower and change to find several packages at our door. Asher grabs the card and reads it out loud.
For Kelly, from Asher's beloved father.
He crumples the note.
It's going to be dresses,
he says.
Do you want them?
No, I say. Of course not, but make sure that's what it is. He lifts his face skyward and huffs out a breath before opening the door and then picking the boxes up. He enters the apartment and sets them on